from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Pull up a stool and join us. 585-866-4FAN. 866-4326. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
Just to avoid all confusion, we just refer to him as F. That's our buddy, Michael F. Florio. Fantasy football talk on NFL Network, Fantasy Sports Radio. Joining us in the sports bar, F, I'm curious how you're proceeding with Brandon Ayuk through all of this. If you've got a draft this weekend or in the next week, are you drafting Brandon Ayuk as if he's going to be a 49er? Is that the safest bet?
Yeah, first, thank you for having me. And yes, I am. So technically I'm not. I would if I had to, but because everyone else is so worried, Brandon Ayuk is sliding a little bit. Like in early drafts back in May, June, even early July, he was a wide receiver one. You had to take him as one of the first 12 wide receivers off the board. A lot of the times he was going inside the top 10. But now, after all of this fear and stuff, on a lot of drafts, he's fallen to closer to wide receiver 20. Debo Samuel has jumped ahead of him. And look, a lot could happen. But this entire time during all of this, I have been drafting Brandon Ayuk. I was drafting him in May when he was a wide receiver one. I am drafting him a bunch more now at a discount because from the start of this, my reading of the situation at least has been the most likely outcome is Brandon Ayuk returns to the 49ers. He is set to make more money this year than he has in the previous years of his NFL career combined. He has to play in order to become a free agent. He cannot hold out all year. To me, I think this was like a game of poker. Brandon Ayuk is like, I want to get traded. The 49ers are like, okay, we'll call the Steelers up. Then Ayuk is like, cool, I worked out a deal with the Steelers, trade me. They're like, the 49ers are like, cool, yeah, we have a deal in place too. None of them really want this to happen outside of the Steelers. I think Brandon Ayuk wants to be a 49er, and I think the 49ers know that this core that has come so close to winning a Super Bowl year after year is in their potentially final year of being all together. I don't see any way they would mess it up. And I think Brandon Ayuk doesn't want to play anywhere else. I think he just wants to get paid.
Yeah, if you're lucky enough to have the number one overall pick, I think you're taking McCaffrey, however, every year. It seems like every year. It was only one game last year, but there's always, you know, that possibility. Handcuff is not the right word, but in case of emergency, is there anybody you would want to target as far as a backup running back in San Francisco, Michael?
I like Jordan Mason the most of them all right now because he seems to be the one that has gotten the most work with the ones while CMC missed some time. But I truly think if Christian McCaffrey goes down, it's going to be a committee. They have Jordan Mason. They have Elijah Mitchell. They have Isaac Garendo, the rookie that is a speedster that they just drafted. He had the fastest 40 of any running backs in this class. So I think the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan are geniuses, and they can kind of get the most out of a rushing attack. Obviously, having CMC do it all helps, but if he goes down, I think we kind of get a committee. I don't think there's any one person that steps in and fills those shoes.
Michael, where do you come down on players who aren't getting a lot of reps during the preseason? We talked about Ayuk. I look at a guy like Ja'Marr Chase, who is fantasy gold, but we've also, there's a deep history here of players who kind of miss the preseason, pulling up lame early in the season with soft tissue injuries. Do you expect that that is still the case, or do you think that, you know, times have changed and these guys keep themselves in football shape and you don't really have anything to worry about? Go take Chase where you would normally take him.
That's how I operate. I understand that not everyone wants to do that. And like, if you're worried about CeeDee Lamb, you could pivot to Tyreek Hill. If you're worried about Ja'Marr Chase, you could pivot to Amon-Ra St. Brown or Justin Jefferson, A.J. Brown. Like, there's other guys in that tier that you can pivot to, and you'll get very similar production. But what I wouldn't do is, like, say those other guys go ahead of Ja'Marr Chase. I wouldn't then pass on Ja'Marr Chase for a wide receiver that I have in a lower tier just because of this holdout. Because I'm still kind of like, people are asking me all week, are you worried about CeeDee Lamb? And my response continues to be, if this is still a story 2 weeks from now, then yes, I will be worried. But I think this is just more business as usual and kind of what life in the NFL has become. These guys have to hold out to get paid. The teams drag it out to try to get the best deal possible. I don't see any world where Ja'Marr Chase isn't playing this year, where CeeDee Lamb isn't playing, or is maybe I get the concern about missing time, but I'm not really lowering them at all, at least not yet, in my rankings, and I wouldn't suggest passing them in drafts just because of that.
Michael F. Florio talking fantasy football with us here in the Sports Bar. Big story in the NFL this week, what happened to the Vikings. Now, the good news is, if you haven't heard, it's nothing serious with Jordan Addison, carted off. He should be okay. The hope at quarterback that we got to take over, we're going to have to wait a year here to see J.J. McCarthy. So with Sam Darnold now at quarterback, how, if at all, does that affect the rankings there for the Vikings in terms of fantasy, Michael?
So I've lowered Justin Jefferson one spot in my rankings. I had him at wide receiver 5. I have pushed him to wide receiver 6, putting A.J. Brown ahead of him, which to some is a hot take. But in my opinion, I'm like, he's got the better quarterback. He now has a play caller that should be more aggressive passing-wise, and especially downfield, we'll get more motion. I think A.J. Brown could be in store for a career year. T.J. Hockenson, I'm still taking him in the same range because we're still – his is about more coming back from that ACL. Jordan Addison, I wanted no part of even before the injury to McCarthy or anything like that. But at least McCarthy was like, there's some potentially unknown upside here. Jordan Addison last year, he had less than 70 yards in all but 4 games. The 10 touchdowns really pushed him up in fantasy. But when Justin Jefferson played, his target share was just at around 15%. So I like the talent that is Jordan Addison, but I think just too much is working against him this season that I'll let other people draft him. Really, with the Vikings, for me, it's Justin Jefferson. I'll take T.J. Hockenson as my tight end too, and that's really all I'm actively targeting in my draft.
F, hear me out on this for a second here. What if Sam Darnold is actually good? What if Sam Darnold hasn't been able to showcase his talents because of the dysfunctional teams that he's been a part of, save for San Francisco, where he didn't get on the field because he didn't need to, but he's going into a team with a head coach who knows how to scheme receivers open, a good offensive line, certainly has weapons at the skill positions. Could this be a sneaky good year for Sam Darnold? Are you willing to take that leap of faith?
I'm not drafting him in, say, a one quarterback league, but if you play in like a super flex two quarterback leagues, he should 100% be on your radar because I'm not going to be willing to say like Sam Darnold breakout year coming or anything like that. But to your point, I trust Kevin O'Connell, the head coach there who schemes up all the plays and everything. Last season, when he lost Kirk Cousins, Nick Mullins started 4 games. He threw for over 300 and 2 touchdowns in 3 of them. So, yes, there were some bad interceptions. I think that could be what we get out of Sam Darnold this year, where he's putting up numbers because the Vikings last year threw the ball the third most in the NFL. So I think out of pure volume, he could put up numbers, but it'll probably be with a lot of questionable interceptions and stuff like that. Probably a better fantasy than real life type of quarterback.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Michael, there is one strategy here, and I have never employed this. I know you're always supposed to follow the board the way it goes, but some people swear by this. I don't want to get your thoughts. Zero RB, meaning, all right, I'm going to load up on every other position, and every year there's going to be some running back we've never even heard of who's going to be productive, and rather than spend capital on a guy that could get hurt, I'm going to take a bunch of guys nobody's ever heard of, and one of them is going to pop. Do you think there's any merit to that strategy? And B, for those people that do look by that, I mean, we just talked about the Niners there a little bit, and you brought the one there name there in Mason. Is there anybody that could fit the bill in the zero RB strategy?
Yeah, there's a ton of running backs who could fit the bill, like Blake Corum, Trey Benson, Ray Davis, but those are all guys who aren't going to be starters week one. And the zero RB strategy, like, you kind of understand the first couple of weeks are probably going to be rough for you. You're trying to find guys off the waiver wire, and then you have these backup running backs or so that if something happens to the starter, if James Conner misses time, Kyren Williams, James Cook here with the Bills were to miss time, someone like Ray Davis becomes someone that you could start automatically in fantasy in that build. But I personally do not love it. I tend to go more hero RB or like modified zero RB, people will call it, where I like to get one guy that is the anchor of my running back room. So it'll almost never be in the first round. I like to get my wide receivers early, but in like the second, third, fourth round, there's a lot of appealing names like Isaiah Pacheco, Derrick Henry, Travis Etienne, Kyren Williams, that I want to get one of those guys to kind of be my every week starter, and then I'll take upside shots. I don't wait long enough to where, like, you're getting all backups, but I'll target pass-catching running backs like Jaylen Warren. I think Austin Eckler's being overlooked right now. So I'll take shots on these upside guys because all I need then is for one to hit, and if one hits and I compare that player with Isaiah Pacheco or Derrick Henry or something like that, and I already have two good wide receivers on my team and stuff like that, now I'm cooking with fire. So I don't ever go aggressive running back, but hero RB, where you get one guy in the early rounds that you're like, this is my anchor, and then I'll take upside shots and hope that someone hits.
Mike, maybe too early to ask this question. We're approaching week two of the preseason here for many teams, but I know that this time last year, I don't know how many people had Puka Nacua on their radar, and inevitably that week one waiver wire is where you find the most value if you're able to identify that player. I'm saying, is there a player that we can identify that we don't have to wait for the week one waiver wire? We're just going to pick him up and know that we're going to have that guy on our roster when we draft him.
So I don't want to toot my own horn here, but I was talking up Puka Nacua since the NFL draft. Once he ended up with the Rams and Sean McVay, I was like, I don't care what you think of him coming out of college. He now has the opportunity to be the number two target and play the Robert Woods role in Sean McVay's offense. So that's what I look for players this year. Because if you asked me at the start of last year, I would have told you I liked Puka. I wouldn't have told you the run he was going to go on. So my strategy is to target young upside players in the later rounds. Like, I like Jermaine Burton from the Bengals a lot this year. I like Malachi Corley from the Jets is another one that I've been targeting. Adonai Mitchell on the Colts. And then there's a lot of young running backs as well. I believe that you want to target as many of these young players as possible in the later rounds. Like, you want to build a safe core in the early rounds and then load your team with these, like, young upside shots because for two reasons. One, they're the ultimate lottery ticket. Not everyone's going to be Puka, but Tank Dell, Sam Laporta, Devon Achane, the list of rookies who break out every year is always a substantial one. And if they don't hit, then you will know very early on they're not going to hit because they're probably not getting opportunity and stuff like that. And you could throw them back on the waiver wire and take more upside shots. So to me, I think taking like safe, boring picks, like I know this guy is a reliable bi-week replacement in the double-digit rounds or something like that. That's bad picks. You could get players like that on the waiver wire in season. To me, I think your bench should be utilized to try to find those diamonds in the rough and those breakout players because if you build a safe core in the first four or five rounds of your draft and all of a sudden now you're adding a Puka Nacua to your starting lineup, Forget about it. You are a championship-caliber team, and that's what I play for. I don't play to win in September. I play to win the final week of the season.
Yeah. In the preseason, Michael, I've learned over the years, don't overreact. Don't, like, know what the preseason's all about. With that being said, the disclaimer, like we all here watched, you know, the Bears-Bills last week and Caleb Williams. All right, this is our first time to see him on the field. There were two plays. One, people kind of singled out. I mean, to put it on 40 yards down the field, the arm strength, like, wow, that was a play when he hits the tight end. There's another play that you go back and watch right now where it's third and long, and the Bills linebacker Dorian Williams makes a break on the play he shouldn't have. My point is, like, that's the correct read. Good quarterbacking, identifying just within a split second, and he's going to find the receiver there. My question about Caleb Williams, just from what I saw, because now I'm starting to believe in this kid, where do you have the Bears offense? Because it's new, it's exciting, but ultimately, how is this going to help your fantasy team?
The Bears are one of those teams where I'm not actively, like, aggressively targeting any of their wide receivers, but I want Caleb Williams because there's so many three wide receivers that are – we haven't seen Rome Odunze at the NFL level, but I loved him as a prospect, and we know DJ Moore and Keenan Allen are elite talents who have relied on a lot of volume in their career. Now they have an OC that doesn't tend to pass a bunch, but, like, it could be one of those situations where this week is a big DJ Moore week, next week is a big Keenan Allen week, then it's a big Roman, like, and it's annoying or frustrating when you have that wide receiver, but when you have that quarterback, all of that production is baked in, and you don't have to worry about it week to week. And I was a big, big supporter of Caleb Williams when he was a prospect coming out. I mean, I'm far from the only one, but he – and you saw it in that Bills game last week where he made, like, that one little flip. Like, he's just got the playmaker gene in him. And I'm a believer that that is something that you cannot teach. You either have it or you don't. Mahomes has it. Josh Allen has it. The special ones have that ability so that when a play breaks down and you have to go off structure, you're going to make something happen. And I think Caleb Williams is the next great one in line with that.
What's your projection for Deshaun Watson in Cleveland this year?
He's a very hard one to figure out because he was not playing well during his tenure last season, but his best game of the year was his final game of the year where he didn't have an incomplete pass on the road in Baltimore in the second half and ended up beating them. I have him ranked as a low-end QB2, but there is more upside there because even last year with him playing poorly, he was running near the goal line. So I believe it was in three of his five games that he played, he had over 18 fantasy points. So I think there's a little, and there's still, I don't want to say he's going to get back to what he was in Houston, but there's still some, like, what if this guy could get anywhere close to what he used to be before he had the long layoff and stuff? So not someone that, again, like I'm building a strategy around or something like that, but if you're looking for a QB2 with upside, he is one that fits the bill.
We don't talk much about kickers, and we certainly don't talk about defenses, but if you get the right fantasy defense, there was one year I picked up New England, and oh my gosh, they were just gold and kind of helped me out in a few wins here. So when we're getting to later in the draft, knowing we have this new kickoff rule too, that we don't know how that's going to play out. Maybe you find the team that, you know, cracks the code here on that, because those would count in fantasy. So how do you evaluate drafting your defense / special teams, knowing there is this new rule?
Yeah, I know a lot of people are very excited for this rule. I am hoping that we see some more kick returns and some more kick return touchdowns, but I'll be lying if I told you I think it's going to happen at a rate where it's gonna, like, there's going to be a defense that returns one every week that you want. I just don't see that happening. I think we'll see it happen more than it had been, but I don't think it's anything that you can plan or predict or something like that. So I've still been handling defenses the way that I always handle them. I will wait. I will probably be taking one in my last two picks in all my drafts are my kicker and my defense, usually my defense first. But I target defenses that have a week one opponent. So like the Bengals play the Patriots. The Bears play the Titans. I'm higher on the Cardinals, but the Bills play the Cardinals. That's a good one. The Falcons play the Steelers. So I stuff like that. Like, I'm always about targeting a weak offense, especially early on, because then a couple weeks, as the season goes on, we'll learn more about who's a good offense, who's a good defense, and stuff like that. But week one, we're kind of going in with a lot of unknowns. So I just look at an offense that I think is pretty poor, and I try to target them.
I know you're probably listening right now thinking to myself, how can I get more of F's data as I'm prepping for my season-long draft or my redraft league here? Michael F. Florio, NFL Network, lay it all out for us, man, because your information is valuable and you're making us smarter football fans.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, NFL Fantasy Live is back on the NFL Network, 6 p.m. Eastern. Right now, Monday through Wednesday, but a week from now, we'll be back Monday to Friday. NFL Fantasy Football Show, Stardom Sit'em Show on the NFL YouTube will be back once the season starts. And then if you still want more, I'm doing writing and at Rotoballer. I have a podcast called Florio's Football Show, and I do a radio show on Sunday afternoons, Rotoballer Radio on SiriusXM Fantasy.
Michael F. Florio, your busiest time of the year. Appreciate you helping us out, and let's do this again soon.
Sounds good to me.
You got it. There he is. Michael F. Florio, NFL Network, a little fantasy football talk. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Good for him, by the way, too. I'm not changing my name. Like, so many, I've known people that have, like, the same name. Oh, I got to be something else here or whatever. No, that's
who are you talking about? People that change their name. What do you mean? People change their name? You mean to tell me that happens? That people will come up with a stage name or a pen name?
There's a guy who does radio down in Washington. His name is Chris Russell. Oh, and actually, no, his name is really Chris Russo.
Oh.
But because
Mad Dog.
Well, yeah, he doesn't want, but he didn't use his middle initial, so he became Chris Russell.
Ah.
Oh, wait, you were referring to yourself?
No, I would never.
I've just trained myself to call you Mike at all times, so that way I don't get confused.
You know, I know we're going to talk about this later in Shots, but there's a very popular actor who actually changed his name as well.
For different reasons. Yeah.
But yeah, it's good for Michael F. Florio. You throw in the F. He's F to me. Like, that guy is great, and to give us time and share some insight during his busy season, can't thank him enough. Now, if you love the fantasy football talk and you want to get ready for your draft, you got a draft coming up here in the next couple of weeks, I'll just tee this up as well. We'll have more fantasy talk next week, Wednesday, 3:25. Put it in your phone. One of our favorites, Sigmund Bloom from Football Guys, will be stopping by. He'll take a deeper look, a deeper dive into some of these players that we'll be targeting.
Yeah, because when are most fantasy drafts? Around Labor Day weekend. Fair to say that, yes, there are some drafts that are going on now. So between now and, say, right after Labor Day, and let's be honest, once final cuts are made, we'll have that sort of quiet time in the NFL. We're going to load up on the fantasy here as much as possible to help you through.
Yep. We're going to come back with Happy Hour next in the Sports Bar. We've got preseason week two tomorrow night from Pittsburgh, the Bills and the Steelers. We'll let you know a little bit more about that matchup, what we learned from Brooke Pryor from ESPN, who stopped by the Sports Bar last hour, and we learned from Sean McDermott today and the Bills today that the starters, the healthy starters, will get about a quarter and a half of play. There's a couple of other NFL headlines that we can get to as well, with a round of shots on deck here on The Fan. Rochester, stand by. Happy Hour next.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.